Job 34, verse 1 to 35, verse 16. We're continuing with the discourse from Elihu. Now, in this section here, these two chapters, what do we have? Well, again, it's not altogether clear. Nobody pretends, but the book of Job is not the easiest book in the Bible. And even with Elihu, though he has said much good sense, at times he says things which are clearly wrong. And sorting the wheat from the chaff is not altogether easy. So let me try and say a few profitable words on Job 34 and 35. You men are so wise, so clever. Listen now to what I'm saying. You know good food when you taste it, but not wise words when you hear them. Now you should be listening. You can tell what's going on when you eat. Oh, this tastes nice. Oh, I don't like this. But you can't discern when you're listening to men talking, to preaching, to teaching. You should listen. And think about what you're hearing. It's up to you to decide the case. And there's some good advice there, my friend. We have to have our wits about us when we're listening to preaching. We have to think. There's teaching coming to us, bombarding us all the time, from the internet, television, radio, the press, books, preaching, teaching of all sorts, not just in pulpits. We've been bombarded by ideas. We can sort out this and that in our life, but the great matters, we seem to be idiotic and sleepwalking, and Elihu calls us to awake and to listen and to think. Brother and sister, you do have your brain engaged when you listen to preaching, when you're reading the Bible, and when you're thinking about spiritual things. Unbeliever, you're sleepwalking. That's the trouble. You're not listening carefully. You're not discerning. You're buying into any old philosophy and teaching. Elihu tells you to wake up and listen. And not just hear with the outward ear, but discern and think. But then he moves into Job. Job claims that he's innocent, that God refuses to give him justice. He asks, how could I lie and say I'm wrong? I am fatally wounded, but I am sinless. Now, it seems to me that Elihu is criticizing Job here. But Job has said this kind of thing. And what he means by it, of course, is that he cannot think, and he's quite right, he cannot think of any particular sin that's brought to him this judgment, as he sees it, this terrible calamity that's come into his life. He can't think of what he's done in particular that merits such a calamity. And he's quite right. He's not here because of his sin. He's not sinless, of course. But he's not here because of his sin. Rather, the reverse. He is here because God is using him as a sounding board, as a display case, to show to the world, to show to Satan, what God's word can stand. But then Elihu bursts out against Job, and I'm afraid he's grievously wrong. Verse 7 and on. Have you ever seen anyone like this man Job? He never shows respect for God. What? He likes the company of evil men. What? And goes about with sinners. He says that it never does any good to try to follow God's will. Well, I don't know who he's talking about, but he's not talking about the Job I know. God's estimate of Job is that he is a righteous man, none like him on the earth. Elihu, you're wrong here. You've got him wrong. You've misunderstood Job, and you're misrepresenting him. But now he comes to speak to the comforters and to all who will listen. Verse 10. Listen to me, you men who understand. Will Almighty God do what is wrong? God does not sin. God is fair. God is just. God is righteous. He rewards people for what they do and treats them as they deserve. What Elihu is saying here, that God is fair. He does not do evil, verse 12. He's never unjust to anyone. What is more, verse 13, God does not ask leave to be. He doesn't borrow from anybody. He's not dependent upon anybody. Yes, he's not under somebody's direction. God created the universe. God rules our affairs. God is sovereign. This is what Elihu is saying. And he speaks very solemnly and rightly too in 14 and 15 of chapter 34. God is so powerful that he can draw every man's breath in an instant. And the instant he draws a man's breath from him, that man's body begins to turn to dust. Unbeliever, are you listening? Elihu is right here. Our times are in God's hand, you know. Your breath is in God's hand. And the time is coming when your body will crumble into dust. Prepare for it. This is what Elihu is saying here. Now listen to me if you are wise. Are you condemning the righteous God, verse 17? Do you think that he hates justice? God is a God of justice. And God is a fair God. The next passage, verse 18 and on, Elihu speaks of God dealing with kings and mighty men, powerful men, the rich, the lordly, the ones who have power in this life. They don't get away with it. They too are answerable to God. You see, my royal family, I'm an Englishman. The royal family, the Queen, Prince Philip, Charles, and all the rest of them. Yes, they have power, they have money, they have influence today, prime ministers and so on. Oh yes, they rule here, there, and everywhere. But the time is coming when they'll have to stand before God. God judges them. God sees them. He does not take the side of the rulers. He does not favor the rich against the poor, for he created everyone. A man may suddenly die at night. God strikes men down and they perish. He kills the mighty with no effort at all. Unbeliever, this is right. You know this is true. If you haven't been bereaved yet, you must be very young, but just go on living and you will be bereaved. And you know your time is coming. My time is coming. The sand is running through the glass every hour, every moment, every minute, every second. God watches every step men take. You can't hide from God. There's no darkness where you can hide. There's no darkness dark enough to hide a sinner from God. Are you listening? That's verse 22. Psalm 139, the psalmist said, I'll try and fly away from God. But wherever I go, there's nowhere I can go. If I say, I'll go to the uttermost parts of the earth, God will see me. If I say, the night will be dark around me, no, it won't. Then there's a comfort for God's people in that. Brother and sister, God sees us. He knows us. He understands where we are. He sees the circumstances we're passing through. And he feels for us. Jesus feels for our distress. But unbeliever, be warned. You're running away from God, but there's nowhere to hide. You're putting up a smoke screen, but God can see through it. He has that kind of vision. You see, there's no darkness dark enough to hide a sinner from God. You can't run. You will have to stand before him in judgment. Face up to it now. God does not need to set a time for men to go and be judged by him. He doesn't need an investigation. He doesn't need to look into it. He knows what they do. He knows what you're doing. He sees when the rich oppress the poor and they cry out. God hears it. He punishes sinners. And he will punish sinners. He overthrows them. And he will crush them. Unbeliever, have sense. Wake up. This is what Elihu is saying to you. And I'm trying to preach him to you now. He punishes sinners where all can see it, because they have stopped following him, verse 27, and ignored all his commands. Now, you have ignored his commands, haven't you? God commands all men everywhere to repent. Have you repented? No, you're an unbeliever. God commands all men everywhere to look to him and be saved. Have you looked to him to be saved? No, you haven't. God commands all men to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. And that's now. But you haven't, have you? No. You've disobeyed his commands. And God knows it. Believer, this is a word for me and a word for you. You've obeyed the command to receive Christ, to repent and turn to him, yes. Now if a man loves Christ, he will obey all his commands. This is love for God, to keep his commands. We're under the law of Christ, brother and sister. Let us keep God's commands. God knows. Let us keep Christ's commands. Let us obey him in his law. God is sovereign, you see. He's above our reproach. If God decided to do nothing at all, no one could criticize him. We're helpless without God. We depend upon him. There would be nothing that nations could do to keep godless oppressors from ruling them. Job, have you confessed your sins to God and promised not to sin again? Have you asked God to show you your faults? Have you come to him? Have you sought him? Have you agreed to stop doing evil? Well, Job is not in this class, but I can ask you, my friend, unbeliever, have you asked God to forgive you? Do you know your faults? Do you want God to show them to you? Are you prepared to come to God now? Will you come? Since you object to what God does, can you expect to do what you want? The decision is yours, not mine. Tell us now what you think. He's calling these people to wake up and think about these things. God is sovereign. You have to appear before him. Are you ready for it? Unbeliever, you are not. And then he comes for Job again, and he's too hard. 34 to the end of 37 in chapter 34. Any sensible person will surely agree. Everybody who's got any sense will agree that Job is speaking from ignorance. He never speaks any sense. He's thinks through everything that Job says. He's like an evil man. He's rebellious. He's sinful. To his sins he adds rebellion. And he mocks. God. No, this is not Job. This is not Job. This is wrong. Job does not say he's innocent in God's sight in the sense that he's sinless. Chapter 35. No, Job knows that he's a sinner. But Job knows, he feels, that he's not done anything particularly to bring this calamity upon him. Elihu says he's going to answer. He speaks of the sovereignty of God. Look at the sky, look at the stars, look at the moon, look at the sun, look at creation all around you. Unbeliever, I say that to you. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The sky, the planets, the universe is showing his handiwork. God is sovereign. God is above you. God is above us. God doesn't need anything from us. God isn't dependent upon us. But you are dependent upon God. We are concerned only with each other down here. My friend, be aware of God. That's what Elihu is saying. 35 verse 8 and 7 and 8. And on to verse 9. But they don't turn to God, their creator, who gives them hope in their darkest hours. They cry out, but they don't turn to God. You haven't turned to God, have you, unbeliever? No. You can live without him, can't you? You think you can. You think you can die without him. But you can't. Your times are in his hand. The time is coming, my friend, when I cry for help, but God doesn't answer. It's useless to cry out. Now is the day of salvation. Don't delay. Don't put it off to tomorrow or next week. Come to Jesus now and be saved. Job, you say you can't see God, but wait patiently. This is a word for me, brother, and a word for you, sister in Christ. I need patience. Your case is before him. This is what Elihu says to Job. You think that God does not punish, that he pays little attention to sin, that he's useless and so on. No, no, no. You go on waiting, Job. Wait patiently for him. And he'll bring it to pass. I see then in Elihu's words in these two chapters, chapters 34 and 35, I see words that apply to the unbeliever and to the child of God. As a child of God, I want to be patient, waiting, my eye up unto the Lord, obedient to his commands, trusting in his promise. Unbeliever, I appeal to you, wake up. Recognize the sovereignty of God. Recognize your frailty. Your life is hanging on a thread. Seek the Lord now. Now is the day of salvation. Call upon him. Obey his commands and run to him for salvation. Trust in the merits of the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. Believe and be saved. Repent and turn to God now. That is what Elihu is saying. That's what I'm saying to you from the Word of God. May God make his word live in all our hearts. And bring glory to his name and everlasting good to us all. Amen.